As you look at our text here in verse number 12, God says, David's praying and he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner." And this morning I wanted to give you some truths on being a sojourner. I know we don't talk that way. The word sojourn, it means a temporary stay at a place. And we normally say, "I'm going on vacation." I don't think anybody, I've never heard anybody say, "I'm going to go sojourn in Virginia." If you're a sojourner, that would make you a temporary resident. That would make you, if you're a sojourner, that makes you a visitor, a vacationer, someone who's just there for a short time. Here God uses the other word in verse 12. He uses the word stranger. I am a stranger. What's the word stranger? It's one who belongs to another country. It's one who is away from his home. It's a foreigner. It's an alien. These words attract my attention as a Christian because one of God's titles for me as a child of God is, first of all, I'm a sojourner. That word is used through your Bible a lot, and that lets me know I'm a visitor here. I'm not here for very long. I'm not supposed to live my life like I'm here and it's never going to stop. One of God's titles for you when you get saved is you become a sojourner. Then you become a stranger. That even separates you more. That means I'm a foreigner. I'm not of this world. I'm an alien. I'm not from this country. You say, "You're an American. I was born in Kansas." But God says, "I'm a stranger." And God's title to us is that we're a sojourner. God uses one more word, and it's another word that I don't hear too many people use, but I think you know what it means. In the New Testament, the word pilgrim is used twice. What's a pilgrim? A pilgrim is someone on a journey. They're someone who travels from place to place. So that's three titles that God gives me when I get saved. God calls me a sojourner. That means I'm a visitor. God calls me, when you get saved, God calls you a stranger. That's someone who is not from this country. And then God calls you a pilgrim. That means one who travels from place to place. That means I'm supposed to be under the direction of the Holy Spirit, right? We're supposed to go where God wants us to go. "Oh, I've always wanted to live in so-and-so. I've always wanted to... This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's..." That's a great song. "This world is not my home." But to live that way as a Christian, it'll affect your decisions. It should affect your thoughts. "I'm not of this world." Here's a great thought, Christian, child of God, this morning. What I'd like to drive home is you're a sojourner, a stranger, and a pilgrim. I don't belong here. I should feel out of place a little bit, right? There's going to come times that I feel more out of place than others, but I don't belong here. This isn't my home. You ever heard the old saints talk about, "I'm ready to go home"? Everybody that dies doesn't go to heaven. People who've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior go to heaven. But they talk about home. "I'm kind of homesick for a country which I have never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore." Then they sing of what? "Beulah land I'm longing for." They long for heaven. Why? Because they're a stranger. They're a sojourner. They're a pilgrim. These are titles God gives us when we get saved. First of all, we're pilgrims and strangers here, or sojourners, because our lifestyle is supposed to be heavenly. If you'll take your Bible and go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Watch this. Philippians, verse number 20. God says, Philippians chapter 3 in your New Testament, Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Verse number 20, our conversation is in heaven. Our lifestyle is supposed to be heavenly. Our lifestyle is supposed to be not as one, I don't mind looking at things. In other words, this would change how you look at your house. My house is temporary. My car is temporary. My clothes are temporary. I'm just here for a short time. I'm supposed to be under the direction of the Holy Spirit while I'm here. I'm supposed to be God's vessel. You say you're a pastor, you're a Christian. Same thing. Same title. Same title. Here, our conversation, our lifestyle is in heaven. I'm supposed to be looking at heaven and looking towards the heavenlies. Have you ever thought about this? We own no property in this world. You say, I own my house. If you've got it paid off, glad. I'm glad you do. But you do know until you get it paid off, you don't really own it. Miss three payments and see what happens. Miss five and they'll take your house. You don't own what you think you own until it's paid for. And even then, God gave it to you. Amen? We don't own property in this world. Our true possessions aren't supposed to be here. What we have is just loaned to us. And then one day when we face our Savior, we're going to give an account of how we used His goods. What did you do with His house? That's my house. That's His house. What did you do with His car? That's my car. That's His car. What did you do with His money? That's my money. That's His money. What did you do with my children? Those are my children. Your kids belong to God. God gave you those kids. They do not belong to you. They're on loan for a short time, and then when we see Him one day, we're going to give an account of what we did with everything He gave us. We're sojourners. We're strangers. None of it's mine. It changes how I look at things. Our conversation is supposed to be in heaven. I love these. We're going to leave all behind us when we go home one day. I love this statement. Do you know how much Mr. Rothschild's left? All of it. You say, he was a multi-billionaire. He left it all. Nobody's taken anything with them when they die. Nobody. 1 Timothy 6:6-7 says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." You're taking nothing with you except what you send on ahead. And that's why our treasures are not supposed to be in this world. It's supposed to be in heaven. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Our inheritance is undefiled. And Jesus says in 1 Peter, "It fadeth not away." Our true country, our native land, is in the heavens where Jesus is. When you go to a foreign land, you're very careful. As a Marine, I've been all over the world. But I'll let you know, the first time you step off American soil and you go into another country, the first thing you're aware of is that you don't feel very safe. If you can't speak the language. We were over in Italy, and I never went anywhere without my English-Italian dictionary. And so we're standing in line, right? We're with this missionary. This missionary has his wife, and she's, she's great in Italian. Me, I walk up to the counter, and we're supposed to order these, I don't know, Italian rice balls, and they said, "You got to eat." So I'm looking, "I would like," and I'm saying the words in Italian. It's taken me forever. And the missionary grabs his wife. He goes, "Honey, would you please go up there and help that Marine before that man robs him blind?" And so she comes up right beside me. Like this. He goes, "Oh." And he's doing that. And she made a deal. And I don't know what he was getting ready to charge me. But because she got involved, I think the price got lowered or something like that. First thing you find when you go to a foreign country is you don't feel very safe. It's hard to understand the directions that they give. When you say, "How do I get to so and so?" And they're so, "Do you see, you go to how you say, like, you go to down here, to, you know, to, I can't understand what you're saying. It's hard. When you bargain with foreigners, you aren't sure if they're cheating you or not. Be careful, Christian, as you're here in this world. You don't belong here. You're a foreigner. Satan's legions are seeking to rob you of your holiness and your peace of mind and to lead you astray. If you aren't careful, Satan will take your goods and rob you. Your conversation is in heaven. Remember, I love this. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." In other words, God's saying in 1 Peter, as a stranger and a pilgrim, as you walk through this world, as you go from place to place, as you visit, as you look towards heaven, be careful and don't let your flesh overtake you. Things that you can touch and see and hear and the senses, the sensational, make sure it doesn't dominate your life. Oh, that feels good. Careful, the devil can make you feel real good. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Abstain from sex outside of marriage. It will destroy you. It wars against what? Your soul. Be careful. Be careful about the drugs. Be careful about things that make me feel good. Be careful. Abstain as strangers and pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lusts. We're pilgrims and strangers because the first thing that gives us away is the same thing that gives other foreigners away when they come here. Our language barrier. Our language barrier. You can tell when they're from Scotland when they kind of talk funny, don't you know? Okay. Or maybe they're from Ireland and they can speak a little bit faster. And you can say, "You're not from America, are you? You're not from America." How'd you know? Because of the accent. Because of the accent. Our language. You see, they're of this world. Lost people are of this world. Their father is the devil. We have been born again as God's children. 1 John 5:1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." God tells us, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." There's something in a Christian speech that tells everyone that he's a stranger in this world. I think the first thing it should be, first thing people should notice is you don't cuss. They may say, "Oh blankety blank," or "Oh beep," or "Oh whatever." But the first thing they ought to notice about you is you don't cuss. Your mouth's different. How come what comes out of your mouth is different than what comes out of everybody else's mouth? Because I'm not of this world. I'm a stranger. I'm a sojourner. I don't belong here. I don't talk like you talk. I'm from a different country. My accent is different when I speak. And I hope yours is. You remember when Peter denied the Lord, as he was standing around, one of them came and said, "Surely thou art one of them. Thy speech bereath or betrayeth thee." You see, they have their portion in this life. They think when this life is done, it's over. So they live this way. They live for the now. They live to drink. They live to party. This is all they have. And then when their life comes to a screeching stop, they don't know when they're going to die. When they die, it's over and their hell begins. Do you understand? With us, this is the worst that it gets. Do you understand? This is as bad as it gets. You say, "Oh, what I went through at work. Oh, what I'm going through in my neighborhood. Oh, what I'm going through in my family." I know, Christian, but you're a sojourner. You're a stranger. You're a pilgrim. This is as bad as it gets. That's why we look to heaven. One day it's all going to be over. And it's going to be so much better. "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Hold on, Christian. Don't quit. For them, they live like animals. Because that's what they have. All they have is the now. It seems like they're happy, but you don't see how they sleep at night either. You don't see their bed. You can't buy a good night's rest. Amen. You can only live for it. You don't see how they toss and turn. Be very careful. Don't look at the world and say, "Oh, look at all that they have. Oh, look at..." I'm telling you, right now is all they're living for. We're strangers and we're pilgrims. We're supposed to be different. Our manners and our customs are different. Our philosophy, our way of thinking is different. They believe it's dog eat dog and you step on whoever you got to step on to get to the top and whatever it takes. We believe, Psalm 75 verse 6, promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but from the Lord. I don't step on other people to get to the top in my job. I treat other people like God wants me to treat them and God prospers me. Amen. I don't, you take a little money here and you gotta roughly deal with it here and you gotta, no, be careful, Christian. Be careful. Promotion doesn't come from the world. It comes from God. You do right in the sight of God and you let God bless your obedience. But you don't step on people. You don't run over people and hurt people to get to the top. Don't think like we think differently. We're sojourners. You see, they're earthy. They're here. A Christian is no longer a natural man because he has had a higher spiritual nature imparted unto him. If you're saved, you've been made a partaker of the divine nature of God who lives inside of you. There's a difference between a lost man and one who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Number next this morning, we're strangers and pilgrims because we're treated as strangers by the world. Lost people can't understand us, just like people from a foreign land cannot understand an American. A Christian is a stranger in a strange land. Can I just read you? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The natural man, a lost man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." If you're here this morning and your family makes fun of you, why do you go to church on Sunday night? You're not going to understand it until you're saved. A lost person would naturally make fun of, "Oh, that's going to church too much. You go Wednesday nights too? You go to the church on Tuesday nights to go so? What are you doing at the church on Saturday? You go Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday. Are you at church any other time?" You're not going to understand. You're lost. Yeah, I understand why you don't like church. I understand. Because you're earthy. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. I don't belong here. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a sojourner. I'm a stranger. They're not going to understand. We're treated as strangers by the world. Jesus told us not to be shocked or amazed when the world misunderstands us or hates us. Just listen closely. In John 15, Jesus said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but Jesus says, I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the words that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they'll keep yours also." In 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, last verse I'll read on this, Jesus said, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." Why does it amaze you when they get upset with you? You Christians! You're always claiming that Bible. Why does that frustrate you? You didn't expect that? You mean that sucker punched you? The devil used their frustration and anger with you to cause you to go, I thought when I got saved everybody would like me. You mean you used to go to the drinking parties and now you don't? And you actually expected them to approve of that? Jesus said, "They persecuted me. They will also persecute you." Did you really, Christian, just think with me, we're strangers and pilgrims. We're journeying, we're visiting, we don't belong here. They crucified him because he stood for what they weren't. Did you really expect them to treat you better? And yet we're so shocked. They don't love me. Jesus does. I'd quit looking to the world for your acceptance. You know, somebody said, all you got to do is separate from the world. I think this, if you'll just love Jesus, they'll tell a difference. They'll tell it. All you got to do is fall in love with Jesus. Be thankful that he saved a sinner like you. Amen? Oh, that's all you got to do. And then they start noticing. I don't talk that way anymore. I don't wear that. I don't listen to that type of music. I'm saved. I don't belong here anymore. I used to party with you. That man's dead. I've been saved. I'm a sojourner now. I'm a sojourner. Christian, we're sojourners, we're strangers, and we're pilgrims. You say, by what else? Our hearts are strangers to the world because we can sometimes say, you know what? There's no place like home. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And I will receive you. I will come again and receive you unto myself." Jesus is building. Your house is small. Oh, you ought to see my mansion. It's out of this world. It's fantastic. Oh, but you know, praise the Lord. We got, you know, when the hurricane was coming through, you know, we got things set on Thursday, and I was preparing for the flood, you know, and I was getting ready. Phase two, if that didn't work, we were building an ark, bless God, and I was going to pitch it within and without and start gathering two of every creature all over St. Mary's County. But praise the Lord, the sandbags worked, and we didn't have any flooding or anything like that. I said that to say, sometimes this world will walk around and we'll say, wow, there's no place like home. I remember a man in our church in Tennessee. He was Dad Hayes, and I believe he was in his upper 60s, and he had cancer, and they didn't catch it in time. One of the kindest men you'd ever want to meet. Soul winner, loved the Lord. I remember my son Samuel, we were standing back here, and Dad Hayes was standing up here, and church was getting ready to start in about 10 minutes, and we came in, and I said, "How you doing, Dad Hayes?" He said, "You know," he said, "the doctor told me I got about 6 weeks, then I'm going to see Jesus." He said, "I'm going home." I'll never forget, he just talked. It was so natural. He wasn't, "I'm going to die! Somebody do something! I'm going to..." He was so calm about going to heaven. "I'm going to see him." And I remember Samuel was standing right back here, and he heard Dad Hayes say, "About 6 weeks, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going home." I remember looking at Samuel's face. He was just a six-year-old boy, and he goes, I said, "Samuel, he's going to be with the one you've been learning about in Sunday school." And he was as calm as could be. And you walk around. Sometimes it doesn't matter. When you go to a foreign country, you can see the beautiful sights. I've been to France. I've been to Spain. I've been to Turkey. And I don't know what the big deal about France is. You can just know from me, the best part about going to France was leaving. Okay? It's beautiful mountains, but you get off that ship, the way the French treat Americans is awful. We would get off ship, and I remember watching these French people come down. You know, we were headed on, we were taking an evening of leave, and I stayed with these other two Marines, and we got off in our camis and stuff, and we're walking down, and this whole group of French people, the street was four lanes wide. And I remember walking, and they saw that we were getting off the ship, and they did the French thing, and they walked literally all the way down there. They walked across the street, and then they wouldn't even look at us. The first time we ran PT in France, I'll never forget it. We were right up in the morning with the rising sun. I've never seen so many queers, guys. I mean, big bodybuilders in fishnet stocking pantyhose, walking with these little Twinkies, and I was the songbird for our platoon. And I up in the morning with nobody's singing back because we're all looking at. My sergeant goes, "Quit gawking and sing." one of the Marines goes, "But Sarge, look at all the fags." Like this, he goes, "Sing out." Still, for the rest of that run, nobody sang it. He's saying, "Up in the morning." We were still, "Look at all the queers, my goodness." I'd never seen so many. To me, it was disgusting. That was 20 years ago. To me, the best part about France was leaving. I didn't like being there. So, "Oh, I want to go to Paris one day." Okay. Ask me, I'll tell you about it. All right. It's gross. It's a gross city. I'd rather go to the mountains and camp. I said that to say sometimes you can go to another country and no matter how pretty it is. I remember when they told us we were getting on the ship for the last time, we were going back to America, our home. And I remember after leaving America and coming back and putting my foot on America, it was, the old statement holds true. You want to just get on your knees and kiss America because it's good. It's good to be home. What do we do as strangers and pilgrims? If I use that as a likeness, we walk, and no matter what we have to see here, we still can't help but say, I'm longing for heaven. Heaven sounding sweeter every day. And Lord, I don't know what you have for me here, but Lord, I want to... Even the Apostle Paul made that statement, as far as I'm in a strait betwixt two. As a believer in Christ, you know that heavenly things aren't as good as earthly things. This world has nothing that can satisfy your spirit. We're sojourners and pilgrims because we're dependent upon our homeland for our supplies and needs. Those in this world hoard their belongings. It's everything that they can stock. We carry only what we need. Our needs are not met by this world. We have to depend on God. I love this phrase in Matthew 6, verse 32. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things, clothing, water, and food, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. God knows what you need. Just like the Israelites were in the wilderness, their bread had to come every morning. It had to drop from heaven or they would starve to death. Their water had to come every day from the cleft rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. That water had to flow or they were going to die of thirst. Just like the Israelites wandered and sojourned in the wilderness, so am I in this world, and my heavenly home supplies my needs. I've got to have bread from heaven. I've got to have water, the living water. My needs supplied from heaven. Christian, yours is too. God has to meet your needs. If you're looking for this world to satisfy you, it can't. It can't. You're a sojourner. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. This world is not my home. We're sojourners and we're pilgrims because we aren't here long. Brother Manuel this morning, he gave a quote to these verses. Psalm 90, verse 10 says, the days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, in other words, if you get to live to be 80, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. I love that verse. God says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Quit living like you're going to live forever. You're not. You're going to live forever in heaven, but not here. So as far as the world, they hoard their supplies. Then they act like they're never going to die. We're going to die. I'm looking forward. I'm not looking forward to death, but I am looking forward to heaven. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that. We're not longing to be unclothed or for this body to leave, but we are longing. I'm longing for a body one day with flesh that doesn't displease the Lord. Amen? One day when I get my new body, I won't be tempted anymore. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There'll be no pull of the flesh to do this and do this there'll be no more. The temptation will be gone. We are strangers and sojourners and pilgrims because we aren't here a long time. Even the Apostle Paul, he said this in Philippians 1, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two. I think God gave the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1 an opportunity to die. He said, do you want to die and come home with me? Or do you want to stay down there? And he says, Lord, that's hard. He said, to die is gain for a Christian. Because this world isn't my home. But you know what? He said, but for you it's needful if I stay. He said, so I can marry your kids and I can counsel you and help you grow in the Lord. He said, if I stay here, it's for you. He said, but if you ask me what I'd like to do, he said, I'd love to go home. And we all know what Paul chose. Amen. He chose to stay. All right. But he said, I have an opportunity. I'm in a strait between a choice. He said, I can either stay here or go to heaven. And I like that. We're sojourners and we're pilgrims this morning, Christian, because we aren't here long. I'm amazed at, and I realize if you're a young person, if you're a teenager, you think every day goes by slow. Especially in the summertime. But if you'll just listen to the older people talk, as their life gets older, their life starts speeding up. Listen to the older men say, I don't know where the days have gone. Listen to them say, I don't know where time is going. And you'll start using your teenage years and your youth to prepare instead of wasting it. Amen. You only have so long. You only have so long. And then it's going to be over. And then your life is going to count based what you did for others. They teach a Jewish boy. They teach Jewish children. Till the time they're 12, you have 70 years to make your life count before you do something for the generation that's coming after you. And if you don't do anything for it, your life was a waste. Prosper those that are coming after you. That's what they teach them. What are you doing for the generation that's coming after you? We're sojourners and we're pilgrims because we're not here long. We only have a short time. Can I have you take your Bibles this morning and we'll wrap it up with Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This will be the last place that we go. Hebrews chapter 11. Just want to read you this. I believe it's a beautiful part of your Bible and it helps you understand how to be a stranger and a sojourner. I'm going to read very quickly at verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse 8. Strangers, sojourners, and pilgrims. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. There's those words, sojourning and strange, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So while he was here sojourning, he looked towards heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. He looked for a city. I don't live for this place. I don't make my decisions based on what is going to happen here. I want to live with eternity in view. I want to know how is this going to affect when I get to heaven. There's going to be some Christians, they don't have nothing when they get there. All they are is saved. But they didn't do nothing for God when they were here. Nothing. They didn't give to God. You realize any money that you give to the Lord goes on ahead. We're not going to ask anybody when we get to heaven, what did you do for God? And what did you do for God? You'll be able to see it. All of the things that you do for the Lord, weave your linen of righteousnesses, your wedding garment. There'll be some Christians, they'll be in heaven, saved by the skin of their teeth, glory to God, never go to hell, but they don't have anything. Please be careful. Are you living for the world to come, looking for a city? Look here in Hebrews chapter 11, watch this. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Look at verse number 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, as him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were, look, strangers and pilgrims in the earth. This thing of being a stranger and a pilgrim, it goes back a long ways. Abraham did it. His children did it. We don't belong here. It ought to affect your decisions. It ought to affect how you spend your time. Just because you do it as a Christian doesn't make it eternal. It's eternal when it involves the work of Christ. Make sure, how are you spending your money? How are you spending your time? How are you spending your life, Christian? You don't belong here. You're leaving it all. All of it. Then let it affect your decisions. A sojourner, a stranger, and a pilgrim. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. I pray that, please, you could use the truth as we embrace and admit the promises that you've given us in your word. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. I pray that, Father, please, you would use the truth this morning in a special way.